surety.
But the first, this time we take for all of our church expenses, and that's for the James Parker tip.
$153.
Oh,
morning, everyone. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to be back here today. I was out one Sunday, and I'd have to say that's the first Sunday that I've missed church in a long, long time. And it's good to be back this morning. I'm thankful that the Lord watched over us, and He allowed us to come back here today safely. I hope y'all had a good service last week, and that the Lord met with y'all, and I hope He meets with us this morning as we have gathered here today. That's what we've gathered to do. We've gathered here to give God honor and glory and to lift His name, that if there's any that might be here today and lost, that through and by the works of direction of the Lord and His Word and His Spirit, that they might be convicted and shown their lost condition, that they would seek Him to be saved today, is what we pray. I'm thankful to be back this morning. I truly am. Appreciate each and every one that's come this way. We need to go to the Lord in prayer, but before we do, I would ask if there's anyone who has anything on their heart this morning they'd like to mention before we go to the Lord in prayer. Let's be in prayer about our revival and our probably, I wouldn't doubt, about all the youth of this church that's associated with this church is going to the Delray meet. And singing school, and it's a good thing. I've been there through their services, and the Lord meets with them in a great way. So let's pray for those services. Every year there's several that get saved up there during their services. So let's continue to pray for their services. The Lord will continue to meet with them, and there could be many more get saved through and by that work. Someone else. I'd ask the church if they would to, Brother Jimmy mentioned it this morning, but I'd ask the church, pray for me. I'm going to have shoulder surgery tomorrow morning. And it's just an outpatient surgery, but I know I won't be sore for quite a while. But y'all just pray for me in the morning. I've told some more. Not worried about the surgery, but not concerned about it. Just I know it's going to be a nuisance, and I know it's going to be something that I'm going to have to deal with for a little while. So I just need your prayers. Anything else on anyone's heart? This morning. That's right. Brother Duncan, those of you that may not know, Brother Hillman Duncan passed away this last week. I believe his funeral was Friday. And let's continue to remember his family. This loss. Just remember any of those that might not be here today for one reason, or if they're traveling or whatever. Let's remember them this morning that the Lord will watch over. Anything else on anyone's heart? Let's always remember our lost. Nothing else to be said. But Jimmy, would you lift your prayer? Time, all right.
on the precinct, there's a SOL, so we, the officer here, the board did, they might be ever revived, and that's the board that, if you are hearts and our minds right here, God, for the Lord's supper coming up, Lord, and pray your Lord, for your hearts and minds right here, Lord, focus upon those things that, we need to focus upon, dear God. We bring you on, Lord, your Lord, out from our lives, Lord. We just pray your Lord, just help us, dear God, to speak to your Lord, to be strong in the word, strong in the faith, dear God. Strong in the words, dear God, to reach out, dear God. I pray your Lord, that you help us, dear Lord, that doors will be open in these few weeks, dear God, for the Bible, dear Lord, to reach out to those loved ones that we have that might be lost, dear God, that they might listen, dear Lord, and hear, dear God, and come and hear the word, dear Lord, and be saved, dear Lord. Pray for all those, dear God, that are members, dear Lord, that shall come, dear Lord, and pray for them, Lord, that they would come back this way, dear Lord. Just be back in the church, dear Lord, that their lives will be blessed, Lord. We just pray in the Father to help us, Lord. Jesus, Lord, and Lord, his family, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you be with them, that you give them grace and strength, dear Lord, in the time of all, dear God. And just bless them, Lord, we pray. Ask, O God, that you might forgive us, Lord, and we just thank you for your presence.
I'm going to take a reading lesson this morning out of the 10th chapter of book 1 Corinthians, very familiar reading. As you know, next Sunday will be the Lord's Supper, and there are some things in here to look at this morning that we need to look at and consider. And First Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under a cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat of the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessings which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. I'm going to stop my reading this morning with verse 17. My thoughts are actually upon verse 16, but as we look back on our reading that we read this morning, it's told us of things, the good things that happened to those that were following the Lord in the desert. And it told of the bad things. It told of that when they had sinned, that there were, it says 23,000, and I believe you can look over in the Numbers, the book of Numbers, the 25th chapter and verse 9, you can see that it was 24,000 people perished because of their sin, because of sin against God. The temptations of Christ, we see in the next verse of us, and they were destroyed of serpents, people that choose not to believe and choose to serve idol gods and worship an idol god, were destroyed. All these things happened as examples to us, this Bible says, and these verses tell us. And when we think about the examples it set before us, how that the Lord is able to destroy in many different ways. I've heard more talk probably this year. You know, I was sitting on the steps of the swimming pool there where we were staying at this week, and a man, never seen him before, come up and he started talking to me about all the destruction that's gone on. And you know, he said, have you ever seen the like of tornadoes and all the things that's going on in this world? He was an older gentleman. And he said, I don't think in my lifetime I've ever seen or heard of so much destruction and so many things that is going on in this world. And I said, well, I don't think that I have either. And I said, but I do believe this, that I do believe that the Lord is in control, and he's trying to show this world that there is something more powerful than man. That there is somebody of more power that is in control, and that if this world would just listen, if this world would just listen and know that there is a God. And I don't believe that he agreed with me what I said, but I don't believe it truly had the effects that I felt on my heart at the time that I said it. I believe that the Lord is in control, and I believe there's a lot of things that's going on, and I believe that the Lord is trying to get this world's attention. We don't just see things happening here in the United States. We see things happening all over the world. There's catastrophe after catastrophe, earthquakes and tsunamis, and there's things that it's hitting every part of the globe on the earth. And it's not just a isolated incident. Here in the United States, I don't know how many tornadoes and things that we've saw just recently, and how many deaths that we've heard about, and not to mention loss of everything that people have and own as far as worldly goods are. We've seen all these things because of the media, and they show everything and show us just how bad it is. But The thing that I want to concentrate on or focus on this morning, in verse 16 it says, the cup of blessings which we bless. I'm thinking about the blessings. I feel truly blessed to be back here this morning. But as in this context of what's being said here, the cup of blessings which we bless, in the communion, in the Lord's Supper that we partake of, in the blessing, being partakers, if you will, participating, having the opportunity to participate in the Lord's Supper in the church of the true and living God, being able to be partakers of that, having known and understood a spiritual rebirth and an understanding that there is a higher power and that there is a God in control of everything. I believe that as we read on here, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. If we've been saved by God's grace, we're all partakers of that one bread. We're partakers of Christ, and we're partakers of the blood that was shed upon the cross for our sins. We're partakers of His body that was hanged upon the cross, and it was broken and bruised for our iniquities. We're all partakers of that, and we're a part of the body of Christ. We think about the fellowship that we have. We have the fellowship with the gospel that He has provided for us, the gospel of the truth that has been presented and preached down through time, the gospel truth of Jesus Christ. We're partakers of that. We participate in the knowledge and the understanding of God's Word, of what is true and what is right, and that's what we stand for as part of the body. All these things that we speak about here when it speaks about the cup of blessings, all these things that I mentioned is truly a blessing upon us. It's a blessing to us that we are all those things that I said, that we are a church, a true church of the living God. that we have been saved by God's grace, and that we have known and understood of His death and His burial and His resurrection, and that we have repented of our sins, and that we have trusted in the Lord to the saving of our soul. All these things are blessings, that we are united as one body in the Lord's true church that He has put here for us. It's a blessing. I think about these things, and you know, I think about the blessings that we have. I was thinking about when I was studying. You know, I did a wedding last Sunday, and part of the vows that I read to this young couple before I married them, that they would accept each other for richer or for poor, in sickness and in health. You know, we're, as the Bible classified, those of us that are the body of this church, we are the bride of Christ. We, as the bride of Christ, accept the written word of God as our vows, if you will, in this marriage ceremony. We have been given responsibility, richer or poor, in sickness and in health, that we will, as the Bible says, not forsake the assembling of ourselves on Sunday, and we'll come and we'll lift the Lord's name and we'll worship Him and we'll give Him honor and glory, that those that might be lost, that they would be drawn and convicted by the Holy Spirit of God, and that they would open themselves down before an almighty God that they might be saved. We're a part of a marriage, of a union, of a body of Christ. And all these things put together is what brings about the blessings upon our lives. True blessings are a divine favor of God. He doesn't have to bless us. He doesn't have to bless us. I mean, he's in control. He can do whatever He pleases. If He so chooses to end this world tomorrow, He can. He could have ended it this morning. But He so chooses that all would come to repentance, that all would believe in Him and trust in Him, that all might come to repentance. And that is why He is long-suffering towards us, that all might come to repentance. He wants all people to be saved. And He's long-suffering with us, and He's blessed us. I know He has me. I'll speak for myself. He's blessed me beyond anything I deserve. I thank Him for that this morning, because I know that each and every blessing that has been bestowed upon me in my life from my youth all the way to this very moment of time is because of God's divine favor upon me in my life, upon my wife and my son and my home and the church and each one of you. Because of God that we are blessed, that we have that divine favor. I'm going to read some verses. I have many verses this morning. I don't know what I'll get to or what I'll read, but over in the book of Psalms, in the first chapter, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I believe this teaches very, very clearly that God blesses His people. He blesses those that are His. He watches over, He takes care, He blesses them. He provides them all the divine favor and the blessings that comes upon their life. It's because of Him. Those that are ungodly. They won't be seated in the bride, in the congregation of those of us. They won't receive the blessing. See, you know, you get to thinking about blessings and you all of a sudden your mind goes to monetary things. It goes to my house, my car, my money that I have. Many times it goes to those things. But the thoughts this morning that I have is a spiritual richness that far outweighs anything that all the money that we could ever gather together could buy. A spiritual richness that pales in comparison to all the Bill Gates added together in this world. With all the monetary things that you could buy, the biggest buildings and the finest of finest, and salvation. Salvation by grace through faith is you're rich. I'm rich this morning. I'm rich in spiritual things this morning. I got something that happened to me when I was a young boy where the Lord has saved my soul. I have an assurance of a home in heaven one day. If I never have another penny here on this earth, if I die of starvation because I can't get food, I'm a millionaire. Because I got something in here that's going to take me to heaven. I've got something that's going to send me to glory one of these days where I can meet my Maker. All these worldly things, the Bible tells us it's going to burn. Just like in our reading, they'll burn like the chaff. Without salvation, you can have all the money in the world and you can be the poorest pauper in the world. So with salvation, you don't have to have a penny in your pocket. And you can be the richest person because of the promises that has been given to us. You know, Brother Burke sang a song about told a little bit about heaven, about the streets of gold, you know. All these things that the Bible speaks of, nobody knows what heaven's going to be like. But we know and understand that it's not going to be hell, is it? It's not going to be eternal punishment. It's not going to be an eternal flame. Where the fire is not quenched and the worm dies not, we know that. Because the Lord is going to be there and He's going to be blessing us. Be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain. There'll be no more suffering. No matter what goes on up there, it's going to be good. It's going to be better than anything we've ever known. And it's the opposite of hell. It's a blessing this morning to know that. We can look over in the book of Matthew, in the 5th chapter, very familiar verses, where it speaks about blessed, being blessed. It's called the Beatitudes in the 5th chapter of the book of Matthew. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which before you. Rejoice if you've been saved this morning, for great is your reward. You may not, while you're here on this earth, you may not have a lot of money, you know. But if you're working for the Lord, if you're doing what God wants you to, if you're seeking God's will and doing what God would have you to do, then you're going to be a blessed person. You're going to be a blessed person. You're going to be a happy person, I believe, with all my heart. Because I believe that the Lord is the only one that can bring happiness to our lives. We think that we can, we think we can go on our trips and we can go on our vacations and we can find peace and happiness and joy. But I'm telling you, this morning service, this morning prayer with the Lord is where I find happiness. Serving God, doing God's work, that's where you get true peace. Where you get true happiness, where you get true joy in your lives. I don't know about y'all, but when I go out, all I do is see a lot of bad things. When I'm here with my brothers and sisters, and this body is in one mind and one accord, and we're partaking of the Lord in His death and His burial and His resurrection, whether we're preaching about it, praying about it, thinking about it, whatever the circumstance might be, and the Spirit of the Lord comes down and meets with us, that's a blessing. And that's rich. That's true riches. To me, that is true riches. True riches to have the favor of God in our lives. We can't be rich unless we have God's favor in our lives. And we won't have God's favor and blessings upon our lives, I don't believe, unless we're participating and doing the things that God wants us to do. It requires participation in whatever's going on. And whatever the church is doing, and whatever the Lord's will for you is, that you participate in doing what God would have you to do. I believe there are those that have been saved, and they don't come to church, and I believe they're not receiving the blessings of the Lord. I truly believe that. I know they're saved, but they're separate and apart from the body of Christ, where He tells us that we are to be. It's important that we're there. There are so many verses this morning that over in the book of Proverbs. I didn't get to preach last week, so I get to preach twice as long this week, right? Over to the book of Proverbs in the 13th chapter, verses 7 and 8, says, there is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke. It's just reiterating what I've said. You can be rich in things of this world and still be the poorest there is. And you can be the poorest person as far as monetary goods goes with salvation and be the richest person upon this earth. Over and over in Proverbs, it says in the 22nd chapter, a good name is rather chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver or gold. The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Really good instruction here. Those of you that are parents this morning, train up your child in the way that they should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, there's going to come a point in age when they're going to make their own decisions. All you kids here, when you get old enough, you're going to get to make your own decisions. You're going to say, I'm going to go to church, or you're going to say, I'm not going to go to church. You're going to have that right and that opportunity. According to this country we live in, when you get to 18 years of age, you get to make your own decisions. You're an adult. And you can make up, legally, you can make up your own mind and do what you want to do. Well, I hope you choose to stay in church for your life. I hope you're saved first and foremost, but I hope that you grow in the Lord till you become an adult, and that when you become that adult, that you see and understand the importance of being in the Lord's house. And I hope you'll be able to see that through and by your parents' examples, how that the Lord has blessed them because they have been faithful to God and faithful to the service of the Lord, and how He has blessed their lives, and you want your lives to be blessed just as their lives are blessed. We're all examples. All of us adults, the young adults are examples to the younger children. We're all examples, and we all look to one another in times of need. In times that we don't know or understand just exactly what we need to do or how we need to do it. We look to somebody that we've seen in our lives as an example. We go to them for instruction, for guidance. Train up the child in the way that should go. And when they're old, they'll be there. They'll be there. I firmly believe that. Because that's what God's Word says. Can't do that without participation. No way. No way can that happen without participation. At home, at Sunday school, at church. So many things. You know, the Bible teaches about many, many, many examples of the rich man and the poor man, the person that's striving for all the wealth of the world and dies and goes to a devil's hell because they've made their main focus money. Not being able to take their eyes off the riches of this world and being able to, you know, the rich young ruler gives example after example. You got Lazarus and the rich man. There's many, many examples that the Bible gives us. It says that it's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get into the gates of heaven. So many different things as far as money is concerned and riches, but just consider this morning that the true riches lies within our heart. And in our reading lesson here, we're given an example. A lot of these people that perished and died, they murmured, they fussed, they turned to idols, they turned to other things other than the church. They died and they suffered horrible deaths. Horrible things happened to them because they turned away from God. Those that stayed true and right were blessed. I pray that each and every one of us will think about that. You know, you can make anything an idol. You can make an idol out of anything. Not just money or a statue. You can make an idol out of anything. Anything that hinders you from serving God, worshiping God, giving God honor and glory, is an idol to you. Before we enter into the Lord's Supper, I just wanted us to think about how blessed we are as a people, as a body. I wanted us to consider our lives and think about those things. Do we have any idols? Is there any sins? Is there anything that needs to be put under the blood? The Bible tells us about getting a fresh cleansing. You know, if you don't go to the Lord and repent from time to time and get a fresh cleansing, get things under the blood, I don't know anybody's perfect. I heard a preacher say one time, and if you're just perfect, you just need to cut them straps and go on up. You'll float on up. And they know it's perfect. We all need a fresh cleansing from time to time. We all need to go to the Lord and ask Him for forgiveness. If you're here today and lost, if you're separated from God and don't know the Lord and the free pardon of sin, the Bible says repent of your sins, trust in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that you might be saved. Repentance works. And I tell you, it can sure lift a weight off of your shoulders if you got something that you carry. There's times that people need to stand before the church and make an apology. I've had to do that before in my life. It ain't easy, but I tell you what, once I did there, you're talking about a burden and a weight lifted off of me. I felt like I could go on and serve the Lord then. And it wasn't weighing me down and dragging me down and holding me back. I don't know the hearts and minds of anybody this morning, but I just know that Bible teaches us that we need to have our hearts right before we partake of the Lord's Supper. We're doing that next Sunday morning. You may be sitting here this morning, well, I've got all the week long to get these things worked out with the Lord if there's something wrong. And you do, if the Lord allows you to live that long. You do. Or you can straighten it out right now. I don't know. All I know is Bible tells us, and I've read some of these things out of here in Revelation when he was speaking to the church of Smyrna. These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee crown of life. Be faithful in your service to God. Serve the Lord with all your heart. Love the Lord with all your heart. Seek God's will. Seek God's will for this church. Not only the Lord's Supper coming up, we got revival coming up. Brothers and sisters, we need our hearts and our minds right. We need lost here. Coming in and hearing the word of God. More than that, we need the power of the Lord here. We need the power of the Lord here in a great way. We got a lot of things to be prayerful about this morning. This morning, I want to end this service with an altar prayer. If you're here today lost, I want you to take the time and this opportunity to seek God. Everybody else, I want you to take this time and opportunity to just talk to the Lord. If you got something wrong, try to make it right. That's between you and the Lord. Could there be a thought or a word on anyone's heart before we go?
Yeah.
Pray. If not, all that can and will, let's gather up here and offer. Thank you.
servants of your supper next week, Lord, that your spirit, Lord, will be upon our service. Lord, I pray to God that you be with us, dear Lord, in our revival effort, Lord. I pray to the Father that, Lord, that you might send those that are lost, dear God, around and about the community, dear Lord, those family and friends, dear Lord, that we've been praying for, dear Lord, that they would come, dear Lord. We pray, dear Lord, for each one that's here, dear Lord, that any that might be here lost, dear God, we pray, dear Lord, for their souls. Just pray, dear Lord, that you convict them, Lord, and draw them, dear Lord. We know, Heavenly Father, that it takes conviction, Lord, and we just pray, dear Lord, for conviction upon their souls, dear Lord. I pray, dear Lord, that you not let them rest or sleep, dear Lord, that the pains of hell would get a hold of them, dear God, that they'd have to fall over, dear Lord, and humble their heart, dear God, to you, that they might be saved, Lord, we pray. Lord, help us, dear Lord, as a people, dear God, to work and to serve you, dear Lord, in a great way, dear God, that you be under you. Lord, just help us, dear Lord, as a church, as a body, Lord. Lord, that when we come together, dear Lord, that we might be in one mind and one accord with one another, Lord, that we, the love in our hearts, dear God, would be felt, dear Lord, amongst one another. And anyone that might come in, dear Lord, we pray, dear Lord, that they might see and feel that love, dear Lord, that's in our hearts, dear Lord. Let us pray, Lord, help us, dear God, as a people, just to do those things you'd have us to do. We know, Lord, that you do all the good things. You do all the saving and the drawing and convicting, dear Lord.